Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. Ladies and gentlemen, I am on the air. What for? I don't know. I just felt the need to get on the air and share with you my Ranger thoughts. Sans my friend Jim Schmiedeberg, who is somewhere in Illinois. I see that Tom Ertz and several guests have joined me here in this chat room. I am a little bit inebriated, although I am coming down from my buzzaroonie, where I had a 7-7 and M&M purge, or a binge rather, and I am purging at the moment, not vomiting, but still a little bit loopy. Now, let's get down to beeswax. Our New York Rangers have just come off a victory. That's right. For the moment, I can't remember who they won against, who they beat. They beat Thomas Kopecky, I think, in the pesky... It wasn't the Predators. Can't think of it right now. But cheap shot of Mike Delzato. Rupp intervenes, does what he needs to do. Rupper, as we're finding out. The Panthers, thanks, Tom. The Florida Panthers, the Rangers split with previously. Tom Ertz helping me along with this program as I try to recall stuff that happened yesterday, which is going to be a tough thing for me to do. And a 4-1 victory is Tom Ertz is my co-pilot. God is my co-pilot tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on this New Year's Eve. Sans Jim Schmiedeberg, the man I loke as a broadcast partner. I sorely miss him tonight on this broadcast. Earlier in the week on Wednesday, we had a party at Slattery's Midtown Pub. Watched the Capitals. What a turnout. The fans were there. We love you. It was a lot of fun despite the Rangers' loss to the dopey Capitals. Suck. Were terrible. However, I think they won tonight. Ovechkin had a couple goals. We'll see. New York Rangers once again showing their resiliency, beating the Panthers after that loss to the Capitals. You gotta love the way Carl Hagelin is playing for this team. He's speedy. He seems to be Johnny on the spot. Looks like he was moved up to the second line. Dominski was put on the fourth line, third or fourth line, might have scoring. It's kind of surprising to see a fourth liner being paid $4 million. But listen, Dominski's starting to play better. He's a hot player. And when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, as Jerry Reed said. And this guy is, when he gets, he's streaky, folks. He's mega streaky. So you got to ride him when he's hot. And if he's going on the fourth line and the Astros producing on the second line, let's keep him there. Haglund deserves it. This guy's a speed demon. Yeah. Tom Ertz is my co-pilot, filling me in on everything. Tommy Ertz, one of the all-time greats. Jim Schmiedeberger is listening to this via podcast somewhere in the United States, heading back to Mesa, Arizona, where he is makes his home and his living in a blood bank. He's very involved. He's very community-related, ladies and gentlemen. So tonight I spent most of the night with my wife at a local bar making merry, watching the World Junior Championships as Canada beats USA 3-2. USA was out of medal contention before the game even started, or as it was going on, I don't know. It's watching out for JT Miller, first round draft choice of the Rangers last year. You've got to do your homework. You've got to scout. 2 years ago, I was watching Derek Stepan there light it up, the junior championships, Chris Kreider, the whole kit and caboodle. I really advise you fans to watch the junior championships. It's a preview of what's coming in the future in the NHL and what's coming with the New York Rangers. The New York Rangers have several players that have shown, especially on the USA side, that have shown some potential and have become New York Rangers. And I think JT Miller will fit in nicely coming down the line. Chris Kreider will be there next year. Faux show, as they say in the hood. Faux show. Apparently that's what they say in the hood. So what I want to say about the New York Rangers is, hey, how damn resilient are these New York Rangers, folks? The Rangers, folks. They're absolutely resilient. They come back from losses where they look flat. Frankly, my friends, my countrymen, my Ranger fans, my Blue Shirt Underground Radio compadres, this team has been, looked flat, looked terrible in that Capital game. I mean, they didn't look, they were into it. Cali's basically using a soccer motion to score a net in that game, to score a goal in that game. It was a flat effort. We had fun at the viewing party. I got to tell you, that's a group like none other. Those people that come down and support this show and support the Rangers, it's fantastic, every one of them, from top to bottom. And Tom Ertz here tonight, guiding me in the chat room, reminding me as the memory fades, as the 7-7 and M&M barrage on my body is taking over and killing the memory. So what else we got to talk about? We got to talk about the improved play of Michael Delzato. Michael Delzato, last year on this program, we said several things. We said, one, at least on my end, I said, send him down to the minors, make him prove he's an all-star in the minors, then bring him up. I wasn't one of these guys that was like, get rid of him, he's a bust, this and that. I just think the guy needed time to play. And what happens? Because of the injuries to Mark Stahl, injuries to Sauer, he's pressed into a number three, number four defenseman spot, and all of a sudden he's getting a lot of playing time. And he starts to play well. He's around a plus 20. Last time I checked, a plus 20. I don't care what you say. I've talked to Theo Fleury. I'll name drop all night if I have to. Theo Fleury says plus minus does matter. Now, Theo Fleury may have been a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen. But Theo Fleury played hockey like a son of a bitch. He was a great hockey player. I don't throw that word great around. He was tenacious. Never took a night off. So if he says a plus-minus matters to him, then it matters. And it's Tom Ertz, my co-host for tonight, filling me in. Tom Ertz says, hey, second in the NHL with a plus minus, a plus 25. Plus 25, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Delzato. How are we going to discount that? At the age, what is he, 21, 22? 5 goals, 17 assists? 22 points for an NHL defenseman? We're not even halfway through the season? Rangers going to have a 30, 40-point defenseman? And you hear a lot of talk about Rangers getting, well, now he's concussed, Shea Weber or Ryan Suter from the Predators, or possibly a Mark Streit or a Lubomir Vyshnovsky. Maybe they have him in Michael Delzato. Maybe they don't have to go out and get these guys. I mean, Delzato does still miss the net a little bit more for my liking, but let's face it, the stats don't lie. Tom Ertz informs he's 21 years of age. We have a 21-year-old defenseman who's a plus 25, and I think we got to really be heralding this guy, if I'm saying that word correctly, heralding. So, much improved Michael Delzato. I'm going to say this because you don't see this much on the boards, on our underground page. But let's give John Tortorella a lot of credit. This guy, no matter what defenseman they have in there, they bring in a lot of guys. These guys are journeymen. These are guys that really have been fifth and sixth defensemen all their life, all their careers. The Jeff Boy Witkes, the Anton Strahlmans, the Steve Hemmingers, can't think of anybody else, but the Stu Bickles, although he's a younger player, they've all been able to prosper under this guy's system defensively. And, you know, I really hesitate to say that because in the past they've always claimed they've had a system, the Rangers. But we, as Ranger fans, have never seen them. And we've never seen it. And now we're starting to see it. I think Anton Strowman's been a pleasant surprise. I think Strowman, the Sausage King of Chicago, has been fantastic. I think Stu Bickle in his role has been good. Tim Erickson, when he's been called upon to play, fantastic. Steady. I'm not saying these guys are world beaters, but a lot of teams could not sustain such a decimation of their defense and keep things afloat, folks. They've lost an all-star defenseman in Mark Stahl. Michael Sauer, who was a stalwart last year, out indefinitely with some kind of concussion, you know, it'll probably be weeks before we know what's going on with him. They've lost Jeff Boy Witkes for a spell. They've just faced a lot of injuries, and they still continue their winning ways. So what is not to like about this New York Rangers team? I say there's nothing. I say this team has character. I say this team has comes to play, I mean, 99% of the time. I say this team is a very bonded unit. You can see that. You watch the 24/7 programs. I can see what Mike Rupp is bringing to this team. I certainly didn't think about it before. You know, Mike Rupp is bringing a leadership, a quiet leadership. He's a little bit older player, a veteran presence, that veteran presence we've kind of been looking for. Listen, I don't know what Mike Rupp, how many cups he's won, where he's been in the playoffs, but I can tell you one thing. I watch him. I know what he's talking about. Now, Tom Ertz is telling me he's reminding me about the power play. Yes, power play's got to be straightened out. But that's fine. Boston Bruins didn't have a great power play and won the Stanley Cup last year. I don't know if that's a true fact, but I remember hearing it once. So we can hopefully get that fixed up. fixed up. With the lines we have and the defensemen we have, that should be able to be fixed. Mike Sullivan, that's about the only bad thing you really could say about the Rangers, is that the power play is not clicking as it should. And forward-wise, we could talk about the Rangers, everybody contributing. Some guys get hot, some guys get cold. You know, Gavrik has been scoring. I know Stamkos had the hat trick tonight, so Gabby is trailing Stamkos. I think Stamkos has got 25 goals now. Gavrik, I think, has 22. Same amount he had all last year. A lot of people told me Gavrik was a mistake. Experts. Came on this show and said, Gavrik, that's a bad signing. He's injury prone. He doesn't want to play. I don't see that. Even last year, I think he had concussion problems. I think he played with Erik Christensen and whoever, when they had to replace Vinny Prosper last year. Until Prosper came back, I don't think he had a great line. He had guys to play with. He may have become disenfranchised. He may have become, I really think he was hurt. Whatever it was. I mean, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, as Beatloaf said. He had 40-odd goals in his first year. Looks like he's going to get 40 this year. What puzzles me, what bemuses me, folks, is that you had Stepan and Anisimov and Gavrik last year. How come they never figured that out? We were so hell-bent with the pack line, with Anisimov, Dubinsky, and Callahan. They never tried to figure out, hey, let's put Artie with Gavrik and Stepan. Now, Stepan was a rookie. Artie is, known as a two-way forward, maybe not a first-line player. Artie's going to be streaky, too. Artie's the kind of guy that, you know, he just doesn't have the finish to be putting points up every night. But he'll get his points. He works hard. Gavrik's a pure speed guy and a sniper. I'll tell you what, though, on Gavrik. Scares me on breakaways if he tries to make a move. He's got to shoot. I think he had an opportunity in that Panther game where he did shoot, and either it was Clemenson or Theodore came out with a save. Once Gabby makes a move, that's why in the shootout I had pass on Gavrik, because he makes that move to the backhand. It's not going anywhere. And Tom Ertz reminds me, now we're getting healthier. And when you get healthy, guys are coming back. Who's going out? Well, Avery sent down to the minors. Everybody, Ranger fans are half and half on that. Either they want him back, they don't want him back. Listen, Tort said at the beginning of the year, we have better players up here than Sean Avery. At the time, I disagreed with Tortorella, because Erik Christensen was playing on the Rangers. I don't think, to me, Erik Christensen is worthless as a New York Ranger. That's my opinion. I don't think too many people are backing EC at this point. He doesn't contribute offense, and he doesn't contribute too much defense. And the Rangers are getting younger. This is just the way it is. People are going to be pushed out, folks. And you're going to have to be prepared for it. Whether you like the guys or not, Ruslan Fedotenko is not going to be a Ranger next year. I mean, I like Cheeks. I think Cheeks is a hell of a hockey player. He has a lot of grit, but you know what? We got to make room for the Chris Kreiders. The Ryan Borks, if he makes it up here. There's going to have to be room to be made. How about if the deadline we acquire Bobby Ryan? And a lot of people, they're down on trading to get Bobby Ryan. I tell you what, Bobby Ryan puts the Rangers in as a major players for the Stanley Cup. I'm telling you right now. Rangers get Bobby Ryan, they got two solid lines. They got two sick scoring lines. How could you not want that? For the right price. I don't want to see them trade in the future away. And you have Now, changes are going to come. I don't think Brian Boyle, I mean, I know they signed him for a couple of years. To me, I'm with Jim. My partner, Jim Schmiedeberg, is not here tonight. I'm with him. I don't know what Brian Bork does. Tortorella loves Brian Bork. And Brian Boyle. Loves Brian Boyle. I think he considers Brian Boyle a project. He can get inside Boyle's head. He's into motivating Brian Boyle. Brian Boyle is never going to score 20 goals again as a Ranger. I can say that with confidence. The guy just doesn't take quality shots. He's not a playmaker. He's not dominant on faceoffs. He's got a lot of hits, but God, I mean, you know, I saw Anthony Stewart knock him off the puck. I mean, he's 6'7". 6'7" here, folks. You got to be a little bit, you know, and he's playing power play time. I mean, Cam Ward has one less goal than Brian Boyle does. I mean, I don't know what Twitt's fascination is with him. But somewhere down the line, Brian Boyle is going to be, you know, he's going to be headed to parts elsewhere. There's several Ranger players. Tom Ertz mentioned JT Miller. I thought JT Miller looked great in camp. He played in the World Juniors for USA. I think JT Miller in a couple of years, he'll be a Ranger. Dylan McElrath, he'll be a Ranger. That'll put you defenseman, possibly a defenseman trade. They're going to have way too many defensemen. You're going to have to say goodbye to Steve Eminger. You're going to, you know, he's, you know, and that fifth and sixth guy. And you're going to have a battle. It's going to get a logjam at defense. Tim Erickson's like 1 year from being ready. Tim Erickson's a hell of a prospect. I mean, the Rangers stole him from Calgary. They gave up Roman Horak. A draft pick. Erickson showed a lot of composure. I'll tell you, early in the season against Calgary, he was being booed every time he got the puck. This kid didn't flinch. Tom Ertz makes a good... I'm telling you, Tom Ertz is my co-pilot on this tonight. He's with me. I wish Antropov... See, Antropov's problem was he asked Sather for too much money. He came at Sather hard, him and his agent. They said they wanted $4 to $5 million. Sather was like, take a walk. You got a soft soap slash. That's the way it goes. You don't come at him easy. That was it. And boom, Antropov's with Atlanta, now Winnipeg. I think Antropov's a big guy who had good hands. Left wing, good player. He's the guy they should have kept. Tom's right. But going back, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys. You know, so you got to say goodbye to Sean Avery. The sideshow is gone, folks. The Rangers are here to win games. You're not first in the conference because you have a guy who's going to, you know, clown around. And listen, I love it. When your team is mediocre and you know you're going to be in a barely going to make the playoffs, are we going to get serious here? Are we going to get serious here and you know, Sean Avery, I like him. He's got a lot of heart. No, but basically, he had 3 goals last year. He has 3 goals this year in limited time. He's 31 years old. And the bell tolls. The bell is tolling for him. Rangers are getting younger. The Rangers are one of the youngest teams in the league. It's about time these son of a bitches in the NHL and on the NHL Network and these other programs start realizing the New York Rangers are a force. They collectively, as a team, they're one of the better teams in the league. You know, other teams have stars and goalies that carry them. The Rangers collectively, as a team, are one of the better teams in the league. And the points reflect that. We've watched the games. They went against division rivals, Devils, Islanders, Philadelphia. I mean, Kovalchuk looked good against them, but he didn't get anything. Claude Giroux, he was healthy. I didn't see much against the Rangers. Tavares. Not much against the Rangers. Rangers D will shut you down. And with Henrik Lundqvist playing the way he's playing, I think he's playing better than his stats. He has been able to make saves in games that deflate other teams. His goaltending will suck the will out of an opposing team because they get frustrated. You're taking these quality shots when you get them, and he's just stolen one. And really, Henrik Lundqvist, you know, God bless him, because he's been around with a team that he's been basically left stranded with. I mean, he's been, you know, he's been left out there, hung out to dry. And now he's starting to see, and I think last year too, with the blocking the shots especially, that people are, players are willing to sacrifice themselves. I think last year and the year before, we saw a lot of goals go off Rangers. Not so much this year. And I just think the more offensive pressure by the Rangers, which has happened since Brad Rich has gotten here. Another thing, and other people, I mean, a lot of people didn't want Brad Rich this year. 9 years. All the money, and I'm a high price free agent. Here we go. So we all know this. It's Bobby Holik all over again. It's Scott Gomez all over again. Guess what? It's not. Brad Richards, you know, he missed a couple. Didn't get some points in a couple games. Got a goal the other night. Got 13 goals, I think. I really expect him to get a lot of goals. He gets 20-25 with the Rangers. That's fantastic. He's been able to take the pressure off the first line. We've been a one-line, one-guy team for a long while. I mean, even going back to Yager. Rangers have not had a lot of variety in scoring. You key on a couple guys, you win the game. Might win 2-1, 1-0, go to the shootout. So you're going to see, like I said, you're going to see guys gone. Erik Christensen will be gone. Why he's still with the Rangers, I don't know. I don't have a clue. I don't know what he brings to the team. He seems like a head case to me. Seems like a guy who's lost out there. He either is not mentally equipped to handle the game. I think he's willing to learn and willing to listen to Tortorella, but he's basically relegated to a overtime shootout specialist. And let's face it, the Rangers haven't played a lot of overtime shootout games this year.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
I mean, Rangers going to have a lot of problems. Volsky is going to come back. We all know John Tortorella doesn't like Wojtek Volsky. We all know it. Doesn't like him. And frankly, he doesn't fit with the Rangers. He's an offensive guy who's not diligent on both ends. And that's just not a Tortorella type of player. I think he'll be gone too. I don't see where he's been. I don't know who he's going to bench over Wolski. I don't. I wouldn't touch the lineup the way it is. Maybe John Mitchell gets sent down. I know. But the fourth line's looking good. Third line isn't bad. You know, and the goaltending situation, Biron is... It's a study. You see a lot of he's an elite backup. He's not an elite backup. But he's a very good backup. And they need to spell Henrik. They need to do that. Henrik doesn't like it. Tortorella loves it. I mean, Tortorella's been advocating it. And that's what they've been doing. So, we'll see what happens with that. Now, the Rangers certainly are much improved this year. And a lot of Ranger fans, and especially the older ones, very pessimistic about what's going to happen the rest of the way. They don't want to get too excited. They don't want to get too ahead of themselves. Rangers come to play. Rangers come to play. They did it last year. Although they, you know, they didn't have the guns or the maturity in several, you know, with several players. A lot of injuries last year, forward positions. Rangers come to play most nights. And they're young. Years past, we've had a lot of veterans. I think this team has gelled. We've seen it through 24/7 how this team has gelled. They care about each other. They also hate to lose. I talked about this years ago. You have to hate to lose to be successful. You've got to be pissed off. I had a chance to talk with Matt Gilroy last year. Matt Gilroy is not part of the team anymore. He's with Tampa Bay now. The worst thing Matt did was actually ask for $1 million from Glenn Sather last year. Matt, you had a good playoff, but you sincerely didn't deserve the same pay or a little bit of a downgrade in pay. You should have asked for the league minimum and stayed with the Rangers. But, hey, listen, that's what he chose. He got from Tampa Bay. But I talked to Matt Gilroy. He was pissed. He was pissed off that they lost to the Capitals. I saw him 2 weeks after the series. He said everybody on the team can't believe they lost to those guys. And show me you care. Show me the Rangers care. Now, we watched that series as Ranger fans and said, how could they do this? Especially in the overtime, double overtime game with Jason Chimera, who was at the Buick party, absolutely hates Jason Chimera. And listen, I hate Jason Chimera too. That bald bastard. That bald fucking bastard. Anyway, you know, the Rangers pulled the lead. They lose in double overtime. They were up 3-0. I mean, it was one of the top 10 most crushing defeats, you know, in my 30 years following this team. No doubt. They made Michael Neuvirth look like Ken Dryden out there the year before. They made Varlamov look like a Ken Dryden out there. Things are going to be different. The Rangers have some pop to them. It's not just defense. The Rangers got some goal scoring. Callahan has been incredible this year. Fantastic. He's a streaky guy. But this year, he's been very consistent with the goal scoring. He's finally playing with some players that are getting him the puck. And he's scoring some nice goals out there. Dubinsky, I know he's got, 4 for $4 million. But you know what? He's a streaky guy. Let's ride him. Let's ride Dubinsky. Tom Ertz just saw me 28 points for Callahan. That's pretty good. You got Gabrick scoring. You got Richards. These kids, Haglund is, I'm telling you, this kid is a spark plug. Run out and get his jersey. I'd wait till next year until he gets a regular number. Then you get his jersey. Then you wait a year, and then you get a Kreider jersey. And then you wait 2 years, you get a McElrath jersey. 2 or 3 years, you get a JT Miller jersey. This is the dawning of a new era. The Rangers are young. They had no choice. Salary cap came in, and Mr. Magoo is now strapped. He had to hire people who knew what they were doing. And thank God the NHL and Gary Bettman have a loophole where we could bury his mistakes in the minors. Wade Redden, I don't want to hear how good he is with the young guys in Connecticut. He certainly was an influence with the young guys here. He was one of the worst defensemen I've ever seen live in a Ranger uniform. I'm not joking, folks. They might as well have had a pylon out there. The Rangers are a young team. You know, you look at that team over here in the mausoleum here. I live on Long Island. They got some young players. They are miles and miles away from being the New York Rangers team. You can get the number one pick every year. You can get drafted the top six every year. Go ahead. Look at Edmonton. They got a truckload of players over there. I mean, you go from Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall, Nugent Hopkins. They draft the number one every year. They're struggling. You got to have a system. You've got to have a work ethic. You can't be all danglers and skilled players. Hey, listen, I'm sure Edmonton's going to be fantastic in a couple of years. And ironically, they're coached by Tom Rennie, ex-coach of the Rangers. And I give Tom Rennie a lot of credit. He's the one who got the Rangers scouting, even developed European scouting for Rangers. I don't think the Rangers had European scouts. I remember talking to experts telling me that Tom Rennie is responsible for that. Rangers didn't even have anything. You know, people want me to give props to Glenn Sather. I can't give him props. The only props I can give him to is he hired the right people to either do his job or he delegated to do his job. Gordy Clark, Gordy Clark is one of the best in the league. The guys he's bringing in year after year in the position the Rangers are picking has been fantastic. Chris Kreider is going to be, Ranger fans are going to love this guy. Brad Richards said in camp, who is this guy and why isn't he making the team? That's how much Brad Richards was impressed with him. He's a veteran. Saying, you think Haglund's fast? Watch Kreider. Kreider's bigger and he's faster. You know, we can all say prospects, NHL, this and that. I know what I see. I see a guy like Derek Stepan drafted. I watch him in the World Junior Champions, but I see the kind of leadership he has. I see how he's able to jump in the NHL. Right off the bat, I could see that he's a thinking player. He's got a head for the game. There's a lot of players out there have skill, all tools but no toolbox. Derek Stepan's got the toolbox. There's no doubt about it. This kid knows weak stuff. He's only going to get better. He's only going to get better. I don't know if he's ever going to get 40 goals in this league. I think he's more of a playmaker. Got to improve on his face-offs. But other than that, the guy, he's tremendously. I think, you know, he could be a future captain of the Rangers if Ryan Callahan, you know, ever departs. He's that kind of leader. And I see a lot of the prospects the Rangers drafted. They've parted ways with, for whatever reason or another. I see those guys are the guys that are really not progressing. The aforementioned Roman Horak started off hot with Calgary's kind of, listen, these guys are very young. I don't want to write them off as NHLers, but not much. He was a late-round pick, Roman Horak. Well, I see Ethan Werrick, another pick by the Rangers. He's not doing much. He's playing with San Antonio. Phoenix's minor league team, AHL team. Not doing anything. Krotchev, who bowed out, asked for a trade. He's doing zilch with St. Louis. The guys the Rangers have kept are doing well. Ryan Bourque singing third-line minutes in AHL. Points aren't where I'd like them, but listen, from what I hear, he's been playing his ass off on that third line. Diligent, forechecker, guy who'll hit everything in sight. Just like Ryan Callahan. He's a little small. We'll see what'll happen. Zuccarello, I don't know what's going on with him. I think he'll wind up being traded somewhere down the line. He puts up good points in the AHL. Doesn't look like he can. I mean, he's good to have, you know, as a guy to bring up. I'll tell you what. You know? He's a good guy to bring up in case of injury. I'd like to have a Matt Zuccarello to bring up. But his future as a Ranger, he's just too small. You just can't have that many small guys on the team. And you're talking Ryan Bourque, small. Rangers have Christian Thomas, who's still in juniors. He's having a good junior season. He's another guy. He impressed me more in preseason and in Traverse City than Haglund did. Haglund didn't have a good camp. He didn't have a good Traverse City. Didn't look fast. He didn't show any of the speed. He's come on like gangbusters. So you never know. You could watch these kids. Watch Dylan McElrath in Traverse City. He looked awful. He was terrible on his gap control. He was running around the ice trying to defend every teammate that got victimized by another player. He was the captain. I guess he just got a little overzealous, forgot his game. I saw him in preseason. I was really impressed with him. Paired with Tim Erickson, and both actually in the tournament and in the preseason. People will be afraid to come in this guy's corner. Rangers have not had that since Jack Bukemun. And before that, Barry Beck. Well, people are afraid to throw the puck in your corner. This kid will hit you. He is big. He's a big kid. I met him in person. Now, you meet these guys, 19, 20, they're not big. I mean, they're big. They're all arms. They're not wide. They don't have a lot of muscle on them. He is a big kid. I saw Kreider, too. Kreider is a big, tall, lanky dude. These guys put some weight on him. Not everybody's going to be an Artem Anisimo. Artem has trouble putting the weight on. He's a lanky guy. If Artem can gain, 10 to 15 pounds, I think he'd be much better and drive to that net. And I'm not just saying this because I've had a couple 7-7s in the peanut M&Ms all night. Rangers got a good future. So, all this, worrying about Avery and this and that is inconsequential. It doesn't matter. The future of the Rangers isn't in Sean Avery. I like Ruslan Fedotenko. I think he's a good player. I think he's served the Rangers well. Bye. Prosper, too. I mean, everybody hated Vinny. They hated Vinny. See Vinny go last year. Got off to a hot start with the Blue Jackets. Everybody was like, oh, bring Vinny back. You're old. I'm sorry. I mean, we've been through this. The Rangers are a dynamic young team. They've got a coach that deserves accolades. He really has a chance of winning the Jack Adams this year. Tom Arch is talking about Michael St. Croix. Michael St. Croix. I noticed him, too. He's got 60 points in 38 games for the Oil Kings in the Western Hockey League. Rangers got some guys. And all this bullshit we heard, the Tortorella and the young guys, it wasn't getting along. I see Michael Delzato looking right in the camera and saying, let's just know how it is, and that's the way I like it. You don't get much better than Torts. So who am I supposed to lose? Do I think Michael Delzato's bullshitting? No. I think Tortorella is maddening for a Ranger fan when they lose. When they lose, he becomes a bastard. He changes the lines. He won't talk to the media, this and that. Bottom line is the Ranger players, they respond to him. They are playing the way he wants them to play. You can't tell me it's a Napoleon dictatorship when I see on 24/7, I see Callahan showing him a play, saying this is what they're doing, and he says, I'll go check it on the video. That seems like it's a cooperative effort to me, folks. This doesn't seem like it's, little Napoleon yelling at a bunch of young guys. So let's give it up for Torts. Now, Mike Sullivan, jury's out on him. That power play's got to get straightened out. But listen, it can't be all perfect. It's baby steps. It's baby steps. For the New York Rangers, they need to win some playoff games. That will be a sign of progress. Get into a second round. Maybe go a little bit further. That's progress for the Rangers. Hosting some home games in the playoffs. Having the home advantage in the first round. That would be progress. That's what the Rangers need to do. Now, the problem is Henrik Lundqvist is not getting any younger. I'm not saying the time, you know, there's a time bomb ticking. But the Rangers need to do this in the next 3 to 4 years. I mean, they've got to make a run. You know, I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn here. I said 3 years ago, I said the Rangers will be a Eastern Conference fourth. Now, I thought I was a little off. I thought it maybe take another 4th year. It's the 3rd year since I said it. Still think they may fall short. I don't know. I mean, so far, so good. But we were all excited about these young players, guys like me and Tom Ertz and other guys who follow the prospects. Very, very, excited about these young guys. But you don't know. Prospects have come and gone. We all got excited about you, Jessamyn. I know. We're used to disappointment, the prospects. Gordy Clark should be signed for life. Glenn Sadie should give him any amount of money he wants. And so I think there's a lot of things to be happy for. If you just joined us, it's just me solo. I'm just talking tonight. I'm rambling. I was drunk. I'm coming down from my buzz now. Jim Spiederberg is not here. We got somebody here. Hold on. 1-1-1-1-1-1. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Vin.
Vin, how are you?
I'm all right. What's going on now with these Flyers? They're tweeting and talking all this junk now on the Rangers. I tell you what, they can't touch us. They ain't got nothing on us this year.
Well, what are the Flyers at? They have a goalie? They don't have a goalie? They have a goalie better than Hank Lundqvist? I don't think so.
They don't got none. They got a whole lot of problems on that team. I was watching that 24/7. These guys have no clue what they're doing. All the players got concussions. The goalie, he seems like he's in outer space. They have no clue.
That's right. You're exactly right, Vince. Their goaltending is awful. Chris Pronger is out for the season. Giroux is another hit away from being concussed and out. He's surely a good player, but what about Yager? You think Yager is going to last the whole season? What is he, 65 at this point?
Yeah, Yager's a bum. He's too old. He ain't got nothing.
I mean, Yager's good on the power play, but on even strength, I think he's a liability.
He can't hold a puck to Richards or Gabrick.
Exactly right, Vince. I mean, the Rangers are a young team. The Flyers, they're a team in transition. They still haven't. They signed this guy for 9 years. He still can't play goal.
Yeah,
they lit him up.
They give him all that money. He's 30-something years old.
I mean, they lit him up like a Christmas tree the last time the Rangers played him.
He's a joke.
Are you really jazzed for this Winter Classic? Because I am.
I don't know. See, that's one of the things that where they can come out and try to get a little revenge, but I don't think they can hold our jocks once it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, Winter Classic got me a little nervous, but once we get in the playoffs, we're going to destroy them.
That's what I think. The Rangers, the Flyers had their run a couple years ago. I'll give it to the Flyers. I mean, nobody gave them any chance this year. Well, after they made the deals getting rid of Richards and Carter, and they played very well. I mean, they played pretty well. But I think Rangers are the team that...
I'll tell you like this. Getting close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. It don't count in hockey.
That's right. And I'm with you. We may lose the battle, but we'll win the war if we get him in the playoffs.
That's right.
That's the way I look at it, Vince. Rangers. I think the Rangers got it. I mean, have you been watching this 24/7 and all?
Yeah, I see these guys. Who's that? That Sestito guy talking all that trash, saying knock everybody on our line out. Yeah, say that to Rupper. Rupper will take care of him.
That's right. You know what Richard said to him? This is your NHL fantasy camp. Enjoy your one game.
Yeah, good luck back in NHL.
Exactly. Rangers are young and hungry. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to. They're playing as a team.
Delzato's an up and coming. He's going to be the next Brian Leetch.
Wow. I hope so. You know, I'll take the next Sergei Zubov. I don't even want to go as far. As long as he's Zubov, I'll take him.
Hey, the kid's 21 years old. He got a good future ahead of him.
That's right. Another great pick. It's not the same old in Rangerland, Vince. I'll tell you that much. They're young.
Once Torts got in there, he led us all in the right direction. Now it's the Bulls charging.
You're right on target. You're hitting the mark. It's Tortorella has got everybody focused, and they hate to lose. He hates to lose. The team hates to lose.
He's a New York kind of guy. You can tell. You can tell when he's out there speaking. He's talking to everybody. He's talking between periods and everything. He's a raw New York kind of guy. I love him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have a lot of friends in the media. They said, we don't like the way he treats the media. Hey, screw the media. I really don't care how he treats Larry Brooks. Larry Brooks is a cretin to me. I don't have respect for the media. I don't care. He's pissed when he loses. Just as much as me and you are pissed when we lose.
That's right.
I mean, what do you want the guy? You want everything sunshine and smiles after they lose? No, I'm not like that. I'm pissed when they lose. I want my coach to be pissed. That's my biggest thing about Rennie. I liked Rennie. I thought he was okay, but no passion. Gotta have some passion.
And yeah, I'll tell you what, he has a lot of passion, and he'll tell it to anybody. He told Gabby in the one thing on 24/7, get your stick on it. You know, because he wasn't doing what he's supposed to. Next thing you know, he scored. That's what you got to do. Sometimes you got to put a foot in your player's ass. He sets everyone right.
Exactly. He knows what guys to push the buttons on. You got to know your players. Each one of them has got to be treated differently. Certain guys, Gabby's a high-profile guy. Maybe he's a guy that needs that kind of motivation. I know a lot of Ranger fans get upset. Why is he yelling at Gabby? He's our best player. Well, maybe he's our best player because Torts is on him.
Exactly. What was he doing with Wild? He was starting to fall apart.
Yeah. Well, Vince, I thank you for calling. We're right on the same page here tonight. And Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, brother. Go Blue.
All right. That was Vince. Vince knows what he's talking about. Amber Lynn has joined us in the chat room. I don't know if you people know who Amber Lynn is. I could tell you. I could go into a whole history lesson about Amber Lynn, but I'm not. It's not actually Amber Lynn, but still. Welcome to the chat room. Welcome to this. I'm telling you, Vince was right. What he was talking about. I don't know when the fan base is going to come around and start praising Tortorella. Maybe when he walks out with that Jack Adams trophy in Las Vegas at the award ceremony next year, maybe somebody will start talking about John Tortorella and talking about the players. This team has got 50 points, right, Tom? 50 points at this time in the season. Fantastic. And these other teams don't even know we're coming. The Boston Bruins have no idea. Their fans think it's hunky-dory. They won the Stanley Cup. They got Tim Thomas. They got Chara. I got news for you. The Rangers match up excellent against the Bruins. They matched up excellent against the Bruins last year. This year, they match up even better. You know, this all goes without injuries, right? You just got to stay injury-free. I think really the Rangers' problem with injuries is the only concern, and please, God, Henrik Lundqvist. That's all you got to have. Rangers, you know, and Ryan Callan. Let's face it, Ryan Callan being out last year hurt the Rangers. And this is another thing. It hasn't really been that addressed. The fact that Chris Drury, who was propped up by the Sam Rosens and the MSG propaganda machine as some great captain and a great New York Ranger. We all knew different. Everybody who listened to this show knew different. Everybody who sat in a seat in Madison Square Garden knew different. But yet they were feeding us that line of bullshit. Now, you've got Ryan Callahan in there, the people's champion. He's wearing that C, and he's doing it on the ice. He isn't going 20 games without a goal like Chris Drury did. He's a captain in spirit, in leadership, and on ice performance. That's what a captain is. Finally, they have a captain since Mark Messier. If you want to count Jágr, go ahead, but I still think Jágr was the goal scorer. His rep is pretty much that he's not much in the locker room. As a lot of times he's considered a deterrent, a detriment, rather. Ryan Callahan embodies the New York Rangers. He's their identity. He's the guy who's scoring on the ice. He makes them go. Chris Drury was an abomination. The guy was a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. See him with the C. How could you be proud to be a Ranger fan while that guy had the C? Listen, we've always been proud of the Rangers. The underground and the Ranger fan has always been, we'll fight to the death for our Rangers, even though sometimes we know we're wrong. But now this team is proving it on the ice how good they are. Now the stats are backing up our loyalty. It's a good time to be a Ranger fan, ladies and gentlemen. It certainly is a good time to be. Listen, we got almost a half season to go. But I'm telling you right now, I'm enjoying the fucking ride. I mean, this team is proud. I was proud last year. I mean, I keep mentioning the Matt Gilroy. I said to him, listen, we're proud of you. I'm proud of what you did. This is before he signed with Tampa. I said, the fans were proud of what you guys did this year. I just want to be proud of my team. And I think now we can be proud of them. And that means a lot. That means the world to me. You know, that we can be proud of their on-ice effort. And you know, and soon the rest of the league will know about it. Right now they're flying on the radar. I kind of like that. Nobody's really thinking. You know? So the New York Rangers are, everything is looking good right now. Can't believe I've done an hour and a half so far. About an hour and a half on my own. Without the great Jim Schmiedeberg. Jim Schmiedeberg, and I want to tell you about this Facebook group we got going. Blue Shirt Underground Radio. We had a party on Wednesday when the Rangers played the Capitals in Midtown, New York, at Slattery's Midtown Pub. 70 people showed up. 70 people on a Wednesday. Broke bread, drank with us, cheered with us, laughed with us. Fantastic. I'm proud of everybody. I'm proud of the group. I'm proud of the people who listen to us. I'm proud of Tom Ertz. I'm proud of Vinny. I'm proud of Amber. Everybody who joins us for the show. Howie Sussman's, the guys who are in every coast of all the guys are usually on for this show. You make me extremely happy that you take the time out and join the program and help me out, help Jim out. Jim drove all the way from Mesa, Arizona,
to be there on Wednesday. He drove. He loved it. He had a great time. And after he left, he had to take a bus to the Poconos to go back with his brother, or his father, rather. Bus like an hour, I think it was an hour and a half trip. An hour trip. Everybody there was great. It was a whole lot of fun. And Mario Mercado, who was there and took some pictures, and he's been at several of you, and Bart said to me, you know, we're here in the middle of something special. And here's a guy who's been following the Rangers since 1969, and I've been following since, like, 75. Is the Rangers, this is something. I said, you know, I might just buy into this shit. You know, if Mario's saying it to me, maybe it is true. Maybe the Rangers it's finally have turned the corner where they're going to be respectable for a while. And it's so hard to imagine, after years of Glenn Sather's buffoonery. I mean, you know, people want to give him props for getting McDonough, for Gomez. Listen, great deal. I don't know what Bob Gainey was smoking that day, but when we got McDonough and Scott Gomez traded as a virtual throw-in, great. But who was the idiot who signed Scott Gomez beforehand? That was Sather. And Sather, he makes a mistake, he corrects it. Listen, why make the mistake? If you're a good GM, you don't make mistakes the first time around. Got bailed out a couple times. Hey, God bless you. As long as you're paying the right people to do your job good. But he's been the GM for 10, 11 years. The Rangers need to be good for quite a while for him to even be considered a good GM in my eyes. That's the way I look at it. You know, you might disagree with me. You might say, Ed, listen, you know, we're doing good now. He's the guy who got these guys. Frankly, I'm going to let you in. He has nothing to do with the draft. Has nothing. He has given Gordy Clark carte blanche with the draft. He may have an infinitesimal input on who they draft number one, if that, Glenn Sather has. It's Gordy Clark's show from top to bottom. So, when you know, a lot of fans don't know this. A lot of fans will say, oh, Sather's drafting. It's not Sather. My problem with Sather, there's two things good about Sather. He's the master of the obvious. Rangers need a playmaker. Brad Richards is out there. Let's eliminate. Let's get the cash allowed for him. Let's get under the cap to get the guy. They get the guy. They need a sniper. They got Gaborik. It's the nuances he has problems with. Getting that winger, that free agent winger. We've been through like four or five of them. Chris Higgins, the Frolovs, the Kotaliks. The enforcer problem, which, thank God, enforcers are... Listen, I love fighting. But when he got Donald Brashear after what he did to Blair Betts, he was out of his mind. I mean, he broke the guy's jaw. You don't get a guy, you don't get a villain who's washed up. Donald Brashear was washed up. Then he gets Boogie. Listen, Derek Bougard, there was no reason to get Derek Bougard. He certainly, John Tortorella didn't like him. He wasn't going to play him. And he didn't like him. You know, rest in peace, Derek. But that was another thing. Why? Why did they get him? There's a host of other players. Redden should have been sent down a year before he was sent down. It's the Roosevelt trade, that was a good trade. I mean, you got Volsky back, but you know, he unloaded Roosevelt, made room for the young guys. I think Michael Roosevelt was underrated by Ranger fans, for the most part. I don't think he was as disgusting as Ranger fans made him out to be. I've seen a lot worse. I think they expected a lot too much offense from him. That's the way I look at it. But, listen, they got rid of him, you got to move on. So what are we left with? It's New Year's Eve. 3 o'clock in the morning, the Eastern Standard Time. Where Jim is, I don't know where Jim is. If he's back on the left coast, it's about 1 a.m. We're coming to a close. Because frankly, my mouth is dry. You really can't do 2 hours of straight internet radio or any radio without any commercials and just talk about Rangers hockey. This is what Boucher Underground Radio is about. Me and Jim do a show commercial-free 2 hours talking just Rangers hockey. I could sit and talk Rangers hockey till the cows come home. Me and Tom Ertz could talk about Rangers stats and how good they're doing all night long. Vinny could tell me, how Tortorella's got this team. They got a New York-style team, and they do. They're a blue-collar team, the Rangers. They have some talent. You know, they have some skilled players. But they are a team that represents the New York team. Tortorella's a New York guy. He's a no-nonsense guy. I think Laviolette, I watched that 24-7. I look like... He looks to me like he's playing it up. He looks to curse. He looks like he's playing for the camera. Tortorella looks like the genuine deal. I like the way he'll come in. He'll use his message. He claps at the end. Let's go, boys. Let's go. And he leaves the room. I don't see a dictator there. I don't see this whole thing, the bully. I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all. And this whole Avery-Tortorella battle, guess what? Tortorella won. Avery is wavery. He's not a Ranger anymore. I believe in John Tortorella at this point. As I said earlier, things get rough. He's maddening. You want to pull your hair out. He's changing the lines. He's doing none of this. But when they're winning, I think he is concerned about his players. He protects his players. Apparently, Jim is in New Mexico right now. Tom Ertz even knows what Jim is. I don't even know what Jim is. I mean, they're great friends.
Thanks for the Falcons.
There you go. It's my New Year's Eve broadcast. I'm going to wrap it up now. And I've calmed down a little bit from my 7-7 and Eminem's frenzy. If I would have done this show about an hour earlier, it would have made absolutely no sense. But I want to thank you all for coming, listening tonight. Rangers in the Winter Classic, 2 days. Should be interesting. Outside, the frozen tundra, I guess. Philly, we'll have 50,000, 60,000 people there. It'll be hiring boys and girls. A hostile environment. You know, the Rangers have a team. It'll be a test. And Vince might be right. I mean, they may, you know, it's a little bit worrisome as a Ranger fan. But if we ever meet him in the playoffs, you know, that's what counts. But I look at it as 2 points. Rangers can start separating. They can somehow get another winning streak going.
Boy, what a show. Wow. Ooh.
I mean, it's amazing. Amazing what the Rangers have done. And me and Jim will get back to you. We'll be on the air. I don't know when. I guess when Jim gets settled in. Another thing I noticed, the Rangers are leading the league in fighting majors. I think most of that's due because Brandon Prust is fighting every night. Practically. Last I checked, they had like 31, 32 fighting majors. Leading the league. The Rangers are a tough team. I still haven't seen that hit on the Chief Sean Delzato yet. Watched the Rangers in 60, and they did not show it. I was out last night. So I'll have to check that out on the YouTube there. So ladies and gentlemen of the Underground, Boucher Underground Radio comes to a close. first show of 2012. Ranger fans, I hope the new year brings us some many wins, a couple playoff victories, maybe even a Stanley Cup run, huh? Wouldn't that be good? Listen, it's new year. We can start to the dream, at least. And here's to you, everybody. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you, Tom Ertz, for helping along with the show. Vinny for calling in. Amberlynn, listening. And the rest of you guys on podcast. And I'll leave you with something we call the Underground Opening. The Underground Opening. It goes like this. Good night, everybody.
This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there.
This is the Underground. This is New Media. This is the Underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers.
Blue Shirt Underground Radio fans, the 2011-2012 season of Ranger hockey is upon us, and we'd like to unveil the inaugural Blue Shirt Underground Radio T-shirt. This magnificent and wondrous royal blue t-shirt has print on both the front and the back. How's that for state-of-the-art? On the front of the shirt, it identifies you as a listener of the most subversive Ranger broadcast out there, Blue Shirt Underground Radio. And on the back of the shirt, it exclaims proudly, "Can you hear us?" This must-have shirt is available in all men's sizes and costs only $15. $17 will get you the shirt shipped to anywhere in North America. How's that for a fucking deal? If you'd like to take a gander at what the shirt looks like before you buy it, go to blueshirtunderground.com. If you want to pay by PayPal, there's a way to do it right there on the page. The best way to get this transaction of a lifetime started is email. Simply email Eddie@rangercrisis.com, and he'll help you get the ball rolling in acquiring this exclusive in-demand item. Show the entire hockey world that you're part of an informative, no-nonsense, uncensored radio program. Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the one true voice of the Rangers fan.
the bitch game.
Thank you.